December 12th, 2008, it's the Lullabot Podcast, live from New Orleans. It's true. Here we are. So we finished up a three-day conference here in New Orleans, and we're going to do a session here and take questions from people. We covered all kinds of things, and we're going to basically sort of try and fill in. We know that everybody kind of comes to these Drupal things trying to fix their specific Drupal problem that they're having. I'm guessing that probably not all of those questions were answered. So, we've got a team of experts up here on stage, equipped to answer, pretty much any web question about pretty much anything. I'm gonna go through and introduce everybody. I'm going to start at this end with Nathan Haug from Lullabot. Woo. Want to say hi, Nate?
Thank you, Jeff.
John Van Dyke from Lullabot.
Great to be here.
Chris Messina from the Internet.
The Internet.
Karen McGrain from Bond Art and Science.
Yay!
Jeff Eaton from Lullabot.
Hello.
Earl Miles from Sony Records and everything Drupal. Angie Byron from Lullabot and everything Drupal. Woo! And Karen Stevenson, keeping it freelance, CCK. And James Walker running around with a microphone.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. So if people have questions, just come on up to the microphone with questions, comments, compliments, insults.
We already have some coming in over Twitter.
So. We have some coming in through Twitter, I understand. Jeff Eaton monitoring. Do we?
Yeah, let's.
Oh, there it is.
Let's go with the in.
Let's start with an in-person person. Oh, I should also mention, we got some copies of our brand new O'Reilly book called Using Drupal. You can buy it now everywhere. We have a few copies here, and we will be handing them out randomly to people who ask questions. Signed by all the authors. It's true.
I know that's totally the part you were waiting for.
And your name is?
My name is Blake.
Blake.
Yeah.
Hit me.
All right. So my particular problem is the comment module, and in the fact that I don't really agree with some of the way that it outputs its markup, and I can't really figure out how to get it out, especially being the form inside of the wrapper. And outside of hacking core, I haven't figured out how to do that.
Yes, that's what we call legacy code. he's having trouble, for those who didn't hear, he's having trouble with the comment stuff, basically theming comment, the comment form, and sort of the way the markup works.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're using Drupal 6.
Yes.
Okay, that's good, because if you were going to say Drupal 5, I would pretend you were using Drupal 6 in order to answer the question. It's not perfect, but it has improved somewhat. Mm-hmm. In Drupal 6, inside of the comment modules folder, there are a number of TPL files that define how the wrapper for the form and the individual comments and the edit in the settings form for the comment all get output. You don't have a lot of control over where those things go, though.
Yeah.
There are a lot of hard-coded portions of the comment module. While I wouldn't recommend using it per se, there is a module called Node Comments that uses the Node system to actually store comments. And because it was designed from scratch, you have a bit more control over where things appear. It's something that needs to be changed, and if you absolutely positively need to do something like put comments on another page or something like that, I would probably say that it's a justifiable situation where you might want to have a small patch that you maintain for your website that just makes a small change to the comment module.
And I would like to see that patch in Drupal 7, so please okay. Submit it.
You can get things done, and you've earned yourself an O'Reilly book. Woo! Using Drupal.
There's one other solution I'd like to point out.
Earl Miles?
There's a very small module out there. I can't remember who wrote it. It's either Nathaniel Catchpole or Daniel Kudvine. But it moves the comment rendering inside the node.tpl.php using an alter hook, a menu alter, to take control of the node form.
That sounds horrifying and awesome.
Yeah, which because it moves the comment rendering inside, you can then either use the module or use the method of the module to take control of the comments completely without hacking anything, because you alter the menu hook and take over node rendering.
That's slick.
It is. It's very cool.
And what was the name of that again?
I can't remember, but if you search
Jeff,
for the word...
Jeff Eaton is on Google right now?
Yeah.
I mean, searching on the Drupal search form.
I'll get back to you on this one.
I also had another real quick...
Oh, follow-up question. You're not getting another book.
No. Okay. Good resources that can cut through the terminology barriers where...
Got the best resource in your hand.
Oxford English Dictionary.
There is a glossary in the handbook somewhere. I don't remember where. It's been moved up pretty top level now. In the Getting Started handbook. Do you want to go over there with a microphone?
Addie Berry. We welcome Addie Berry to the stage.
Right, so in the Getting Started handbook on Drupal.org, there's a top-level link for terminology, which is like a whole glossary of all kinds of random terms that are used in Drupal, and has a bunch of links for information on where that stuff is.
It is drupal.org/getting-started/before/terminology/random-stuff.
Can we get a node ID?
No, that was actually the URL.
That makes it easier, but it has a clean URL, or whatever that's called.
All right, next question.
It's node 937.
I don't really have that much of a big question, but just wanted to say thank you for the really cool conference. You guys kind of stretched my brain more than it's ever been stretched, even outside of the programming or using Drupal just to be like the whole website intelligence kind of thing. But the question I have is, why do you guys choose to use Macintosh computers?
That's actually a really good question. The first DrupalCon I went to was 3 years ago, something like that, in Vancouver, and there were not nearly as high a percent of Macs, but over time, basically, Macs are ubiquitous in the Drupal community. Why is that?
You might be shocked to hear that I have a strong opinion.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory that the Think Different campaign worked on Drupal people.
Actually, during the Think Different campaign, I was a .NET developer for 4 years. So.
And then you started thinking differently.
Oh, my God. Right. Yeah.
I think Mac OS offers a lot to web developers in general, not just Drupal developers. But the fact that you can essentially very easily run your web server's same environment on your laptop and yet still have, office programs and things like that available to you makes it very appealing.
It's got a Unix command line.
Yeah, things like, having a Unix command line, all of the, performance testing tools, tools that the developers use, like CVS and things, having that just on your laptop when you open it up is very handy. And, I think macOS offers one of the better compromises between being, still usable and accessible and having all those tools, so where Linux and, well, I don't know, I can't say Windows is usable. This is being recorded. They're a very handy tool. For me, I'm a sucker for Silver.
Well, you can run Windows on a Mac. You can't run Mac OS on Windows. You can, with the virtualization tools that are out there for the Mac, you can run Linux, other Unix flavor operating systems and Windows Alt. I mean, it's as far as web development is concerned. If you're going to test cross browsers and you don't want to have three machines in your office, the Mac's the way to go.
Also, it has the best Twitter client.
And it has Omnigraffle.
And also,
Omnigraffle. And also
Drupal developers get paid a lot of money.
Aluminum case.
I'm gonna take one off of what is this service? Twitter. We've been taking questions through Twitter the whole conference. I think it's worked pretty well, and we've been using the pound sign hashtags courtesy of Chris Messina.
Thanks, Chris,
father of the internet, or at least all things interesting on the internet, Okay, Joomla had their CMS event last week. Thoughts about Drupal's position as a CMS in the future? Does that imply that Drupal is the leading CMS now and maybe we could surpass it in the future? Or where exactly are we going with that? So I'm just going to... I'll simplify it. Joomla versus Drupal. Jeff Eaton.
Cage match. Two CMSs enter, one leaves. No, I think right now both the Joomla community and the Drupal community have a lot of energy going behind developing the underlying tools that they're built with. Culturally, the Joomla community still has a much stronger emphasis on monolithic plugins that like supply votable, rateable image galleries for your users, or a social networking system that plugs into your website, whereas the Drupal community has really gone towards the lots and lots of tiny little pieces that you use to assemble functionality. So regardless of any sort of like religious arguments about the underlying technology, that difference is all I think is going to be a big split between the two for a long time. I think it's really going to be a matter of, you know, if you want to install something and click it and have it go, there's probably going to be more catering towards that in the Joomla world. But if you need to tweak it and customize it more for your own edge cases, there will be more support for that in the Drupal world, albeit the need to ramp up on more of a learning curve.
So we just answered the questions Mac or Windows, and the questions the question Drupal or Joomla. So.
I also, is Truffle Media here? Does this person exist? Yes. So I want to personally give a book to you. You've been one of our best back-channel participants. May you have many more Twitter followers.
That's Truffle Media on Twitter. My name is J. Jeff on Twitter.
Stop it.
I'm Eaton, E-A-T-O-N.
So interesting. We had a presentation earlier this week, a keynote from Lane Becker of Git Satisfaction, talking about the way the tools will influence the community. So the fact that Twitter lists your number of followers very prominently has played out in a very real way in inside of Lullabot, and we have a very fierce competition for number of followers internally.
We have special software on our intranet to track it.
So that's why you'll periodically hear Lullabots shilling for new followers. The real reason is they're losing. WALKAH is at the top of the leaderboard, has been since the inception of the game.
Now I have to take you off.
Damn, that's like 100 more.
That's all.
You've got to stop sleeping with all your followers. Or I need to start.
Ladies.
Next question.
People, I only have 125.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on up. Anyways, human being. What's your name, human being?
I'm Jay.
Hi, Jay.
I've been a Drupal user for about 5 weeks now.
Thanks. Welcome.
Step three.
All right. With Drupal 6... and WYSIWYG editors, specifically FCK, hopefully. What's the recommended way of creating links to other nodes, you know, or pages? And as a sub-question, what about images?
Meaning absolute, relative, or what do you call the one where it just starts with a flash? Or a slash? Like, is that like that's relatively absolute?
That's absolute.
It's absolute relative to the site, though.
Still absolute.
Okay.
No, actually, what I was hoping for was like with a, you could click on it and then you could select from a list, you know, the page that.
Oh, now you're just talking crazy.
Yeah. I think I've seen some stuff. I think like Link to Node, Link to Content have done that in the past, but maybe not for Drupal 6, maybe not for FCK Editor. I was wondering what people do.
We don't use WYSIWYG.
WYSIWYG API.
Yeah, in a WYSIWYG, I don't know. I mean, when you say select from a list of nodes, I think node reference. When you say WYSIWYG, I think, oh, goodness.
So if, you know, if I have a user, you know, somebody who doesn't know HTML, wants to make a link in the About page to the Content page, it would be really nice if they could click on the Link button in the WYSIWYG editor, and it pops up a list of all the pages, and they click on Contact, and then it throws it in there.
Now, how many pages are on Drupal.org? Let's just say a gazillion, 10 gazillion. I mean, there could be a usability problem around that. I could see certainly doing an autocomplete field, and that would be a really cool thing to add into the Drupal native WYSIWYG editor that Gabor is working on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly, but certainly, you know, something where you started typing the title and it filled in the whole thing. I mean, conventionally, how we've just done this is you need to teach the client a little bit of HTML and sort of web know-how. They feel like they have job security. It's a good thing.
One thing that might be worth considering, and it is a little bit of coding work. Most of the WYSIWYG modules that are out there right now do accept plugins of some sort. Like you can write a small JavaScript plugin that says, oh, I want to, you know, click and put in a Flash file or something like that. If you have a smallish set of links that people will probably want to be choosing from, not all of the nodes on your site, a hard-coded plugin for your WYSIWYG editor that just lets people pick from the About page, the Terms of Service page, or any of those commonly linked things is one option. It'd be relatively low impact. But yeah, I mean, it would probably be solving a larger set of UI problems in how to filter down those big lists on sites with tons of nodes to solve it in a totally reusable way.
So is the normal way of doing it for people is just have people type in /node/contact main or something along those lines?
Also, yeah, just telling people to, you know, visit the page that they want to link to.
Copy the URL.
Copy the URL and paste it in. Images, which you mentioned briefly, is a bit different. I would say IMCE, looking for nods.
IMCE, yeah. and one thing to note, and correct me if I'm wrong here, if you don't use a full path, including the site name, in the URL, when it gets fed into the RSS feed, oftentimes it won't actually show up remotely on like Planet Drupal or something like that. This is sort of a bug in IMCE, and if the IMCE maintainer is listening, we're looking for it. So, anyways, but yeah, so that using /whatever is kind of a good way to go, because if you were to move your site to another URL or something like that, that would usually work as long as you have the top level as your own. But it doesn't really work for RSS feeds, so there's sort of a something along the way. Earl would fix it.
It
good.
Depends a lot on the reader.
There you go. Depends on the reader.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's take one from Twitter. Knowing it's bad to modify the core code, is it equally evil to modify a core table?
It's even eviler.
I would like to say it depends on the modification.
Well, you know.
Can you expand on that, sir?
Yeah, add indexes all you like.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. We added 3 more columns to store extra data in the node table because we thought that would be cool, which is like, you know, kicking babies evil. And then there's, wow, the site was really slow because we had a module that was listing things and sorting by column X. and we added an index that made that really fast. That's cool. That's awesome. In part because if your database schema somehow gets magically set back to Drupal's normal one, your site gets slow. It doesn't just explode in flames because data's not there, and you can re-add those indexes pretty easily.
Yeah.
Tread carefully, sir. It can be a good idea, but it's not for the faint of heart.
It can be a very good idea to do on some tables. My experience has been you want to do it carefully. Pick which tables you're going to change based on the usage patterns, and that means understanding why you would do that. So it's something that either only experts should do or those advised by an expert should do.
Find your local highly opinionated MySQL administrator and ask him. Or her.
One thing to remember is if you do that, you're going to be sharing your database's memory between InnoDB's buffer cache, and that memory will not be available for your MySQL query cache for your MySAM tables.
He's quiet, but very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the long story short, the question was, you know, using alternate MySQL table types, so converting things to InnoDB. The answer is it depends a lot on your site, what modules you're using, how you're using them. There are several articles available via various searching mechanisms to sort of suggest some common practices, you know, tables that you may want to consider converting. But it takes a bit more in-depth performance analysis, as John was saying, you know, sharing memory between the various buffers and optimizing for that, it can be a bit tricky.
You, sir, state your name.
I'm Jeff, and this is a Drupal 5 question that's been driving me nuts. And
what version?
Drupal 5.
I don't remember that version.
5. Some of us are still there.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Could have been a 4 question.
Okay.
Well, here's the issue. Sorry. I've got blocks set to show up on a certain node. Node 1, node 2, node 3. And what's happening is over time, the form, when I bring the form up, it's losing the nodes that are being set. And then when I look in the database table, I can see them in the database table. But if we're not careful and we're not paying attention and we save that block, if we edit something and save it, we lose the list of nodes.
The next time you edit the block, is the node list still there?
No.
Are you using OG block visibility?
No.
Dang. So, I wrote
she
a module.
She would
have
looked like a ninja if she knew that, though. I think we might have an answer here.
Oh, I am using an admin theme. Blue Marines.
What I was wondering about is actually there's a core bug that just got fixed, and I'm not even sure if it got in the release. Latest 6.8 release here, that when you run update.php, it causes all your themes to be disabled. When that happens, your blocks no longer know what theme they're supposed to be part of, and therefore it doesn't save that list anymore. Look in the admin /build/themes, look to see if your themes are actually enabled with little check boxes next to it. Check them, resave the form, go back into your blocks, and you'll be able to save things successfully, if that's the issue.
That feels right, because we've made a similar observation. We couldn't figure out what was causing the theme to lose track of the block, but that feels good.
It's something to check out.
Yeah.
That was John Wilkins, by the way.
Woo! Yeah.
Hey, you. John Wilkins.
We call him the Zen Master.
The only other thing I was going to suggest is that there might be a module such as OG block visibility, which I wrote, and I'm sorry. It goes through and it actually programmatically tries to set the block visibility to some PHP snippets and stuff like that. So if you're installing any kind of module that's trying to be smart about the block visibility, that could also be something may have gone haywire and stuff. But John's thing sounds pretty probably like a good bet.
So just to prove that we're grateful, Jeff is a repeat Lullabot offender. Having attended 2 workshops.
Your first session in San Francisco,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Jeff Butterfield. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Jeff works for George Lucas.
He has lightsabers
has his
in his office.
Very own lightsaber. Yeah. Let's see. just picking one randomly. Will your book answer all of the questions I have that seem to be too basic to ask here? Angie?
Sell it. I think so. So the book Using Drupal was written... Basically, we all run into this frustration where you install Drupal, and that part usually goes okay. Sometimes you have some problems with the database and stuff like that. But then you get to the point where you're like, okay, it's installed. Now what? And you just kind of hit this wall, and the now what is usually like, go look at this list of 5,000 modules and try and find the two that's going to meet your needs. So the book was really written in a way that Steph the Geek is this girl who works for Top Notch Themes. I really like her, but she put it as... You know, you can buy a Drupal book that will teach you, or you can buy a music book that will teach you all of the theory, and you can practice your scales, and you can, you know, really learn music, you know, from a top-down way and understand everything. Or you can buy a book that teaches you power chords, and you can be doing pop songs in an afternoon. And Using Drupal is really kind of about that. It's like, I personally don't learn from reading... What is a node? And let's talk about the, you know, theory of nodes and what you can do with those. I learned from, like, show me the node form and tell me what I can do with it. So the book is written around this idea of building eight different example sites. So build a little mom-and-pop website. Build an e-commerce store. Build a photo gallery. Build a product review website. And it talks through the use case for all this stuff. And there's a little fake client in each chapter that's like, you know, mom-and-pop incorporated needs a website that has these features.
Our fake clients were terribly demanding.
They were terribly demanding. Yes. And they all have silly names. So, you know, hey... and then we go through and we talk about, like, okay, well, which modules are we going to use to solve these issues, and why are we using this one and not using that one? Because that's another problem, is how do you evaluate the modules and figure out which ones are the best? And then we go through and kind of talk about generally, like, here's everything CCK does, here's everything Views does, and now here's how to actually do something with it. And there's step-by-step instructions for actually going through and building out the sites. So the intent was, yes, to answer questions, to teach people Drupal from bottom-up approach, teach them how to actually do stuff with it, instead of kind of learning the theory of how Drupal works and then still being left with a bunch of questions about how it works. So the intent is that it'll take you from not knowing much about Drupal to knowing enough to be dangerous, and then from there you can go into pro Drupal development if you want to get into development stuff. You can go into theming work or whatever you'd like to do. But with that said, there is no question that's, you know, you can't ask here. We're all friends. You know, we'd love an easy question, please. That would be great. None of this links crap, okay?
So I have a feeling this may have just been pandering for a book.
We respond.
But do we have
pandering.
The guilty party present? Yeah. So I'd love to ask you to tell us if it answers all your questions.
Appreciate it, but it's already on my doorstep.
All right. Thank you.
Well, when you're finished with it, if you send it to us, we will sign it for you.
We will.
Although we're virtual, so it'll get one of those tours around the world like that garden gnome in that ad for that company. Oh, there you go. Great.
Fantastic. All right, thank you.
Human being.
Yay. My name is Avi. I'm a newish Drupal user, and I don't have an easy question. I'm sorry. but my question is more general. I know Drupal is going to be about eight in January, I think.
Eight years old. Yes. About that.
So
exactly that.
Exactly that. I found the page. but I was wondering, 8 years is a long time, but where you guys see Drupal in another eight, five, the long future of Drupal, where you see it going?
With grandchildren.
On the moon.
I don't know.
Are there serious world domination?
There you go.
Yeah,
Chris. Yeah. Chris, where's Drupal going to be?
Chris, where
are
we going
years?
With all this? Wow. You're thinking about the future.
Trying to. Well, I think there's some opportunities, obviously, to start thinking about going or taking a lot of what makes Drupal great and interesting, the sort of embracing of small pieces, loosely joined, and taking that to the internet at large. For the last 10 to 20 years on the internet, we've had a lot of silos that keep getting built up, obviously, again, sort of starting out with the AOLs and now doing it again with the Facebooks. What happens next is we essentially disaggregate and disintermediate a lot of the large silos, and we start enabling social networking to, and this will sound weird today, but social networking to exist in our real life so that the technology actually adapts to us as opposed to asking us and forcing us to adapt to it. So in so much as Drupal can support and adopt a lot of the technologies that I think are being developed today that allow WordPress and MovableType and Drupal to interoperate, I think that it has a very sure future as opposed to other projects that might just be sort of inwardly focused, trying to build yet another silo that, as we know, gets very brittle over time and ends up not surviving.
Anyone else have anything to add?
And yeah, hunger?
I'd like to add some extra things to that, too. A lot of people have made the observation, or at least a few people have made the observation, people that aren't familiar with Drupal that have come to just demo Drupal out, try it out for a little bit, have found Drupal to be a fourth generation language, that is a language that you can use without knowing how to program. And Drupal is all about being able to build websites without knowing how to build a website. Basically, someone that can come in and build a completely fully functional website, think whatever they want, and then click it together without writing a single line of code. And Drupal has already progressed, this is part of Dries' keynote several years ago, progressed to the point where we've eliminated the role of the webmaster, that person that has to just update the page. That person is gone. And continue that progression and remove the web developer from the equation also. Honestly, I don't think we'll ever remove the web designer. So
can we remove
maybe,
the end
maybe
user?
We should all start practicing hard. So there you go.
That's actually really easy.
Skynet removes the end user. This is your future.
Avi, thank you so much for your question.
Building a really bad website removes the end user.
What are the biggest gotchas upgrading from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6?
Upgrading from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6.
Views.
Views. He said it.
Views and image field, I would say, are two of the biggies.
Well, image field's not even there yet. At least views pretends to have an upgrade path.
That would definitely be the gotcha, it not having an upgrade path
right
now.
There isn't one at all.
Yeah, I mean, image field, if you're using it on an existing site, you can roll your own upgrade path and like write SQL to just migrate data yourself, which I'm guessing there's a small number of people in this room who get excited about that. I believe there is an issue in progress where there's work being done to develop an upgrade path for it, but that's definitely one of the rough spots. If you depend heavily on image field, there's not going to be just a click it and go upgrade path.
And by rough spot, it's more like a sinkhole in the road where you can't really get past it.
Does that mean that Drupal 6, I mean, just speaking holistically, is Drupal 6 just not finished yet?
For building an original site, a lot of the, I mean, if you're saying, let's build a website, let's use Drupal, I mean, starting with Drupal 6 right now is a no-brainer. It's definitely what you want to be building with, and you're not going to see anywhere near that kind of, oh my gosh, this is horribly broken, what do I do? It's just those specific pieces that the automatic upgrade path just hasn't yet been written, or it's just difficult, or the technology between the version 5, you know, the Drupal 5 version of a module and the Drupal 6 version has changed enough that, as with views, there's not really an easy way to simply automate that process. It takes work. It can be done. It's not fun, and it feels more like programming than going to the Drupal upgrade page.
I will also say, CCK, that will upgrade if you follow the instructions. If you try to shortcut the instructions, you may run into problems. But we have worked through, I think we worked through all the issues, and the upgrade process is a little more cumbersome than we wanted it to be. But if you follow the instructions on the project page, I think people are not having problems.
In summary, CCK, RTFM, OMG.
BBQ.
Look it up, folks. Look it up.
Hi, my name's Carol, and this is the second event that I've attended. And I've got a two-part question. The first one is, it's a serious one. I've been interested in translating the site into different languages, and I went to the seminar today on that. I tried the module that translates the interface, and it did like one menu item out of like 20. And so my question to you is, do you know why it's doing that?
Yes. Part of it might be the menus that you see in Drupal's default navigation menu can actually be added to by lots of third-party modules. So if you install a module, it will put its own menu items in there. If you haven't also downloaded language translation packs for that module, mm-hmm. its menu items and stuff like that may not be translated at all. So it's important to also seek out the translation packs for third-party modules that you've installed. It's also possible to go in and like manually translate stuff, but if you have third-party modules, also check for the translation packs for those in addition to just the core pack.
And many third-party modules don't have translations because you're talking about a contrib module, and then you have to have someone who speaks the language you're translating to use that module and want to translate it. So you can help. The really big modules.
So this was in the administration menu that all the items there except one were not translated.
Oh, well, I have no idea.
Is Gabor still here?
It might also depend on the particular language pack and how done it was. Sometimes there will be certain languages that you'll download that are at about like an 85% completion level at a particular point in time, and the community is continually working on improving those. It may not be fully baked. You might go back and check whether or not the particular language pack has been completed.
If it was an old language pack that didn't have initial caps, would that be an issue?
Oh, that's crafty.
Right, and I'd also like to add that the locale module that sounds like you're using can only translate strings that have been defined by code. If you're creating your own menu items, such as like your about page and your contact page and things like that, things that you've placed in the menu yourself, locale module does not translate those because it does not know what those strings necessarily are. And so you'll likely need to download and install the i18in module in addition to the things that are built into core and enable the i18in
I refer to it as that module.
and turn on the i18in menu module, which allows you to translate after you've entered in the word about. Then you can go to the interface and translate that word about into any languages that you have installed on your site.
Thank you. And the second question is, I've actually, by tomorrow, I would have flown 45 hours to attend the last two conferences. So my question to you is, I'd like to see a show of hands who's willing to hold the next conference in Hawaii.
The trick with this is always trying to find a place that people's companies will actually pay for them to go to.
You can't make it sound,
you know, we
too
keep
far.
Thinking of all these wonderful exotic places, but you go to your boss and you say, well, it's in Waikiki, and I've
got a solution.
I'll learn a lot, I think.
I've got a solution. I'll trade you a book for a week in Hawaii.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Let's just keep on with the humans. Right. While we still
have humans.
I'm running a multi-site environment. I'm pretty new to Drupal, and I'm curious about, and I need to share content between the multi-sites, traditional nodes, CCK data, and hopefully via views, data from outside of Drupal. And I'm just wondering what the best strategy is to go about that.
I actually did a session on that, and my answer was don't. Because no one has solved it yet. It's not so much don't, but rather you're going to have to be rolling some of your own solutions to that problem.
He needs to do this, though.
Yeah, I mean,
even if you say don't, he still needs to do it.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
How would you recommend
a good way of going about it?
One solution possibly is if you need to share every single piece of content, period. Shared tables can help solve that. It's not some sort of voodoo, but you have to do it carefully because it's easy to make things between sites collide doing that. There is a module called, I believe, domain module or subdomain module that is designed to have multiple related websites that share some stuff with each other. I have not personally worked with it, so I'm not sure where it's at, but I know that it's been used by several news sites that had to share content. So it was actually designed for the real world, not just a random experiment. It might be worth checking out. A final option is setting up some sort of content syndication system for your own internal sites. You know, feed API and aggregation features. There's a lot of stuff around there. I haven't looked into them, but you know, it might be worth checking out each one of those options and at least, you know, trying them out in some sort of time-boxed fashion.
Another option is that you don't necessarily need to store all of your content as nodes, depending on how the content works. So you can use other options to store the content in another location, something like panels or something else which has pseudo content that can be more readily shared than nodes.
But panels isn't ready for 6, right?
It depends on what you're doing with it. Sadly.
Okay. So that would be a solution where you would set up one site or a set of related subdomains, and the context module would detect what site experiences someone having, you know, what section are they in, and then allow you to filter what content they see based on different criteria. Would that be an accurate description?
Pretty much, but I don't think it's just limited to subdomains.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you can have things like time of day, what their profile fields are, all sorts of things like that could drive the view of the site's content.
Thank you.
Should we see what the internet's saying here?
And yes, my answer is always don't do that.
there's a question for John Van Dyke. What's your favorite bug? Not in code, but in real life. For those of you that don't know, John actually has a background as an entomologist, which is bugs.
So I'm partial to the Hemiptera, specifically the Triatomini. These are blood-sucking bugs that will actually sneak up while you're sleeping and take a blood meal from the soft tissue next to your eye, and you will never know.
So I'm never sleeping again.
So John's an interesting guy to work with. Let's do a human question. How about a human?
Yeah, let's get a human being.
Hi, my name is Deborah Fazzetto. I live and breathe Drupal, and I've written a lot of modules, but I've never contributed anything. I take a lot, but I don't give much. I don't know how. Can you guys help me with that?
Yes.
I mean, what do I need to do? I mean, I don't know how to start, really.
Well, come find us and we can help you. But for anybody, I'm trying to give you not the.
Well, let's start with this. What's your forte? What do you think you? There's a lot of different areas where people can contribute to Drupal. Documentation. Addie
well,
can tell
more
you all about
maybe
that.
Contributed, maybe contributed modules. I don't
modules
know
where, and code.
And a lot of our stuff is custom, but
yep.
You know.
If you have ideas for your own modules, there's that whole thing, you know, to mm-hmm. solve the problems that haven't been solved yet. There are a huge percentage of the modules in the repository, most of them are mine, that need active maintainers. Mm-hmm. So taking over an existing module or just simply helping out in the issue queue and trying to sort of narrow down on modules, you know, that you use or work on you know, to just sort of help out in the issue queue is really helpful for the maintainers. Or
that can also be a relatively low impact way of starting to get used to the process of maintaining a module on Drupal.org. Okay. Even if you have code you would ultimately like to contribute back yourself, becoming a maintainer and helping out with a project, you can sort of get used to the mechanisms of mm-hmm. working with the issue queue, dealing with the CVS repository and stuff like that before you say, here's my module. Check it out, everybody.
Well, that's another thing, too, like with CVS repository. I mean, I know how to use
those kinds of things, but I don't even know how wouldn't even know how to use it on Drupal.org.
I had no idea before I started working with Drupal how to do any of that stuff, and I stumbled horribly. I still stumble horribly, but you figure it out eventually.
How do you learn?
People are relatively forgiving.
Yeah, we do. So I'm recovered now from someone basically asking me what I dream of people asking me every day. For getting involved in anything, drupal.org/getting-involved is a jump-off page for instructions on how to do all of this. For module contribution specifically, there's node/59. Is the instructions? Come on, guys, I'm that person. Yeah, there's instructions there about the guidelines for getting a CVS account. So step one or step zero is getting a CVS account. What they're going to want to see is this is the code I want to contribute back, and they'll actually ask to look at it just to make sure that it's not blatant security holes and stuff like that. Not that you can't get a CVS account, but they're going to want to do some education with you first before you jump in. They're going to also want to make sure that there's nothing that blatantly duplicates what you're trying to do. What we're trying to avoid is the situation where we have thousands of modules that do exactly the same thing. So basically, the onus is on you. If you can say, here's my code, here's what I want to contribute back, and this is why it's different than the existing solutions out there, you're basically a shoo-in at that point. Once you get by the way, if you're a designer, you can get a CVS account in a heartbeat, and you just say, I have a theme. Whoa, that's great. So that's step one. And then once you have a CVS account, then you can start committing code to the CVS repository, and you'll be able to create what are called projects. And projects are just like the module pages and stuff like that. And you basically get your own issue queue. You get your own little directory in the CVS repository. You can commit whatever you want.
Do I get a Drupal.org email address too?
No, unfortunately. I don't even have a Drupal.org email. Yeah. But you do have a Drupal.org user ID.
I already have that.
But what you will get actually on your user profile page, you'll get a list of all the projects that you've committed to.
I haven't seen that. Okay.
So, you'll have cred. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, and for making all of Angie's dreams come true, I'd like to give you a book.
I really want with a Drupal shirt, too. What's up with that?
All right.
Nice.
Greg, do you want to ask your question in person, or should we read it off of Twitter? How do you read it off of Twitter?
I thought I might forget, so I don't have paper anymore. Will Drupal 7 be ready to go for building new sites when it's released, or more ready than Drupal 6 was? So it's a question for probably the three people at that end of the table. Views, panels, CCK, and Drupal 7.
Are you ready?
It's gonna be released.
Ooh. All right. That's a loaded question, first of all. But yeah. Okay. All right. From some background, a lot of people weren't happy with the timing of when Drupal 6 was released, because people feel it was kind of rushed or whatever. There was a situation where the development community, the core committers, were like, we need to get this out. It's ready. It's ready to go. Let's go. Woo, 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 woo. And the user community is like, wait, what? What is this? Kind of stuff. There were so many awesome improvements in Drupal 6 that developers really wanted out because they could do all kinds of new stuff. However, because they could do all kinds of new stuff, a bunch of people took the opportunity at exactly the same time to say, oh, I should rewrite my module and make it much, much better. So that would work fine if it was one project, but it was like all of them. And so that's kind of what led to this 9-month long sort of,
Not all of them, just views and CCK.
And panels.
And voting API.
And image field.
No. That one was decided for panels.
So, yeah. So the probability of that specific situation happening in 7, I doubt. Maybe in 8, I don't know. Maybe this will be in every other release.
Because you don't think 7's going to be as awesome as Drupal 6?
No. No, that's not what I said at all. No.
Am I misunderstanding what you're saying?
I think that everybody kind of learned their lesson from that to a certain extent, that it's like, wow, that really burns people when we do that. And so I think there'll be better time. So in Drupal 7, we've done some specific things to help prevent that situation from happening again. One thing that we're doing is we're rolling unstable releases every so often, so about once a month, so that module developers can iteratively, as the development cycle is going on, upgrade their modules to what Drupal 7 is so far. And they can say, my module works with Drupal 7 unstable 3.
are on stable 4. And these are hidden releases just to developers only because that's who they're intended for right now. Drupal 7 is still very early in the release cycle. So in terms of whether or not it's going to be a disappointment or whether or not they're going to do this, it kind of goes back to, if you didn't go to Eddie in my talk, Drupal.org is a duocracy. Drupal 7's gonna turn out like whatever anybody who wants to work on it makes it out to be. And if you're interested in fixing something that's annoyed you in Drupal for a long time, or you really want Drupal to have something in it, this is the time to do it. This is the time where it's before code freeze, where anything goes. Anything that you can imagine Drupal doing, such as the comment theming not sucking, we can do that now. We can't do that when we're getting ready to release. So I don't know. I can't really say for sure. I will say that the community definitely learned lessons from the Drupal 6 release, so I think we're actively taking strides so that doesn't happen again. But ultimately, at some point, the community is going to be clamoring for a release. We're going to release it when it's ready, and you know, we'll have to see what happens. Does that answer your question at all?
Also, I'd rather stick a fork in my head than rewrite views again.
I was going to say, all of those authors that said, sweet, I'll rewrite my module from scratch, I'm guessing none of them are really thrilled about, you know, now I'll do that all over again.
Oh, yes. I do it every time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Greg. You've earned yourself a book.
I'm going to take one from Twitter here. What's a good rule of thumb for determining whether I should use CCK in views instead of writing a custom module? And I want to just ask this person, did you attend sessions at this conference? But let's put this out to Karen and Earl. When should people go back to the old style building a custom module solution?
My rule of thumb is if you are a serious developer, you want to spend the time, you're really, really, really interested in the efficiency of your query, and you don't want the assistance of all the other people who work on views and help fix bugs, you should then write your own code. Since that turns out to be roughly 1 in 10,000, chances are you're going to want to use views in CCK unless what you're doing is more complicated than they can handle. And that's where you really start considering whether you write your own code. Can views in CCK do this easily? Then the answer is a no-brainer. Can views in CCK do this if I do a bunch of development? Then you start thinking about which way you want to develop. If can views in CCK simply not do this, well, then you have to write your own or don't do it.
I would say, in addition to that, you know, part of the beauty, and somebody actually pointed this out to me, but part of the beauty of views in CCK is the fact that they create standards. We have a standard way that we structure the data, and all the other modules know what to expect, and they write hooks for it, and they interact with it. And if you create your own custom code, nobody else is going to know what you've done. You're going to lose all the ability to have all the, you know, CCK automatically integrates with Vue's. And as Vue's was coming up on Vue's 2, I mean, CCK was the first thing out there that was using that new code and interacting with it. And we actually, you know, filed some bugs and fixed some things and all that kind of thing. So, but the people who are using CCK got the total advantage of that right out of the box. You get all this interaction of things that work together across all of Drupal, and you don't get that if you're writing your own custom code unless you know how to write all that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is also how much of Vue's and CCK would you end up just having to rewrite yourself? I mean, there is an awful lot that you get totally for free using both of those tools that's very easy to overlook unless you remember the dark days of like Drupal 4.6 when just everyone wrote everything from scratch.
Flexinode.
Views, if anybody hasn't quite gotten this aspect of things, I mean, it's sort of like, ooh, wow, and it's all wow, but is it really efficient and a good performer? Views and CCK are shockingly good at performance optimization. You can still get in there and do a lot of tweaking, but they also make that relatively easy as well.
Most of the times when views and CCK are inefficient are times when it would have been really monstrously difficult to write it efficiently yourself, and you would probably need to bring in your resident guru to help you tweak it regardless. It's important to realize that if you think you can just write it more efficiently because you're writing it by hand? The answer is almost always no, probably not. A lot of work has gone into making it efficient.
Thank you. My name is Stephen Recker, and I'm a Drupalholic. This is my second Lolabot event, and I've really got to give you guys kudos because I had a whole lot of very specific questions, and the way that you did your different sessions anticipated most of the needs I had for specific questions. But the large thing that I'm running into as I'm designing my first large Drupal site is trying to figure out what are the limits? Like, how many is too many menus? How many is too many content types? Too many views? Because I'm having to do a lot of stuff more longhand, and I know down the road I'll be able to be more efficient programmatically doing things. But I'm just wondering, since you've done a lot of sites, if you have sort of an idea of, you know, if you have 20 content types you're getting out of hand, or 25, or is there any sort of number that you have in your head for any of those sort of things?
You can have
I'm sorry, did I insult you?
Apparently. You can have a lot of content types. I've run into sites that did, but every once in a while I have somebody say, I've got, you know, 300 content types and 57,000 fields, and I say, okay, now, you're probably doing something wrong if you've got that many. But I've seen lots of sites that have 10 or 20 content types. I don't think there's any problem with that at all. And with views, and Earl had to step out, but with views and in views too, it's not necessary to write as many different kinds of views as you did before. In the past, you would have had to write a lot of separate views to do a lot of different things, and the new design is much better. You can create a view and have a number of displays so that it's displayed in various ways. So it cuts down a lot on the number of different types of views that you have to write.
As a general rule, I try to say that every time you add a zero to the number of whatever it is that you have on your site, think hard for a moment.
Okay. Exponential math.
More zeros. Scary.
Thanks. Do we answer that completely? Are we good?
That was wonderful.
All right. Well, we'll take one last from Gabor, who is the coincidentally the maintainer of Drupal 6.
Yeah, so I'm Gabor. Actually, Gabor.
Ouch.
Gabor.
I speak, my Hungarian is obviously, I would die there.
And I'm a complete Drupalholic as well. I've been with the community for 5 years. I've been to half of the DrupalCons, and I've read like a lot of I've seen a lot of misconceptions about this event competing with DrupalCons. And I've seen that there's not big of an overlap, so I'm here to congratulate you, since I think you really found a void to fill. And I've been one of the lead organizers to the previous DrupalCons, and after that I really felt, no, not again, no. So I'm asking what's your feeling, so would you do it again?
Oh, the question is, so would we do it again? For people who are listening on the podcast, we had probably close to 250 people attending in New Orleans here. It was a big event in the middle of economic collapse in the U.S., and we were a little nervous, and but it really worked out great. I had a great time. I most of the people I was talking to seemed to really enjoy it. We have a survey up on the website. I won't give out the URL over the podcast, because we want people who are attending to fill out the survey and not people who didn't attend. But we'll put it up on the screen.
You can't see it right now, but it's an awesome URL.
I keep comparing it to childbirth. You know, there's that whole thing where, you know, it's like, why would you ever do that again? It seemed like it was such a horrific thing. But, you know, 45 minutes later, it's like, yeah, let's do that again.
Spoken like someone who's never actually given birth.
Well, you know, it was painful, but we might be talked into it.
Good. Thanks.
Well, how do we wrap this thing up?
Somebody asked you to sing the Drupal song a cappella.
Yes. I'd be happy to do that. Wow.
right.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Drive safely.